How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
I don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor's End. This is the Variant Friday Look Back. Look Back Friday. There's several calls up there from previous shows. And as the call unfolds, I usually put it in the list to return to on a Look Back Friday date because there's things I want to say. Now, the problem with that is that some of these are from 2 or 3 months ago. And so I forgot why I put them in the list. And I am only hoping that listening to the call again prompts why I put them on the list. If not, I'll probably just say something like, okay, well, that's good. Next call. By the way, my friend tried to talk me into ice fishing. I mean, you know, I thought, okay, but that's kind of cold, you know. But all right, I'm up for anything. I'm up for anything. So for the first time, I went ice fishing. I found a spot. And I cut a hole. And I heard this voice from, sounded like up above, deep voice, godlike voice. There are no fish under that ice. I thought, whoa, is this some kind of locution? All right, so I moved. I moved to another spot in the ice. And I sawed another hole. There are no fish under that ice. Thinking, wow, is the Lord trying to help me have a good first time ice fishing experience? So I looked up and I said, Lord, is that you? And I heard a voice. No, it's the manager of the ice rink. Oh, I didn't know there wouldn't be any ice under there. Nice to have you here. We're going to get to your calls momentarily. I want to start the show off with an apology. I was going to say I don't think I'm going to be particularly sharp today, but let me rephrase that. I'm going to be less sharp than my average sharp, which is not real high. There's a reason for this. My wife and I have been getting in these little tiffs. Every time we do, she brings up the same theme. Ray, would you please get out of the 70s? Now, ladies, one thing about us guys, you know this. All you have to do is tell us to do something one time, and we do it. You don't need to keep reminding us every 6 months. So I figured, okay, I got to put a stop to this accusation. Our anniversary was coming up. I was going to bring one of my daughters to help me shop for my wife. I have 5 boys and 5 estrogen Americans. My girls knew their mother up one side and down the other by the time they were 3. The average 5-year-old girl walks up to her mother and says, Mother, I want to tell you, while I do appreciate the guidance you've given me on these first couple of years, I feel compelled to tell you you were wrong on most of it. The average 16-year-old boy is still digging into his nose, saying, Mom, where's the ice cubes? No, I asked Dad. He don't know where they are either. My youngest daughter, Liz, has been able to run the whole house for the last 5 years. My youngest son, Pete, who's in his 20s, is still giving his brother wedgies. These are not the same species. So I figure, okay, I'm stopping this. I don't want to hear this get out of the 70s stuff anymore. So I went out, and I bought her one of those mood rings. I can hear some of you snickering. Go ahead. Go ahead, laugh. Those things work. They do. When she's in a good mood, it turns green. When she's in a bad mood, it leaves a red mark on my forehead. So, if I stumble around today, have mercy on me. I'm going to go to the course. I got a long one there from Julie. And the original question was even longer than that. This question is 7 minutes long on the front end. I'm going to comment on it. With a seven-minute question, there's a lot you can comment on off the grid here. But Andrew told me that he had to do some heavy editing. And typically when he says heavy editing, what he means is, I took a lot of you out, Ray. I took a lot of you out. I said, okay, well, he controls the cutting board floor. When we come back, I cut short this monologue because Julie's question is a little bit longer, and I want to have some time to explore it. Julie from Kansas is going to ask about her obnoxious, now those are her words, not mine, obnoxious son and his Disney dad, Dr. Ray.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Raising your IQ with every segment, pushing you to the outer limits of your IQ red zone, where you keep it there too long. Heavy headache. Julie from Kansas is definitely frustrated. Definitely frustrated about a situation with her son and an uncooperative father. Man, you got one of the most difficult situations that a parent can bring to me, which is an older kid who, at least from your briefest of descriptions, sounds like he's out of control.
He very, very disrespectful. He wants his opinion heard, and it's his opinion or no opinion. So,
are you married, Julie?
Yes.
Where's your Where's your husband in all this?
Kind of a bystander in my view. I'm definitely the disciplinary, and we have an acronym for DD, and that's Disney Dad. And MM for me, I'm Mean Mom. And I don't like it. That's not my job, but it's not his nature to have people mad at him. So I've taken the brunt of all this, and I mean, he just doesn't recognize rude mouth and disrespectful behavior.
How long has it been this way?
Let's see. Probably, I'd say 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. I have pulled every hat trick out of my hat possible.
Well, I don't think you have. Because
okay. Well, that's
first,
why
well,
I'm
first
calling
of,
you.
Well, Julie, first of all, you're mom, which means that as mom, you still do a lot of things. You probably wash his clothes. You may take him places. You may pay for his smartphone. You may do many, many things. And why are you still doing those things if he's that rude and disrespectful and defiant?
Well, to tell you the honest truth, I don't. He does his own laundry. He doesn't have any devices because he's proven that he can't be trusted on any devices. So he has no smartphone. He has no computer. But again, daddy to the rescue. And, you know, I don't even feed him. It's like if you find food in the refrigerator, you eat it. I'm not making nothing for you. I don't take him anywhere. I don't do nothing. But again, you know, rescue takes care of everything. So
does daddy buy his smartphone? Does daddy take him all over the place? Does daddy get him his license? Does daddy give him the computer? What does daddy do?
Well, none of that, because I've kind of put my foot down and he doesn't have a driver's license. I said, you may be the only senior in high school that's going to get a ride to school, but again, it doesn't bother me. So yeah, he does not have a driver's license. You know, he doesn't have a smartphone. You know, he doesn't have, and we tell him, you know, you could have so much more, you could go so many more places if you just learn how to be respectful and obedient, but something just doesn't click.
Well, does your husband think if you weren't such a witch that your boy would be a lot nicer?
Oh, I'm sure so. He's just never said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he understands, too, that it's just way out of control.
He doesn't like the way it is, but he isn't doing much about it.
Well, and, you know, he's really kind of to the point where he doesn't know what to do. I mean,
has your son run away? Has he left the house? Has he hit you? Anything like that?
He hasn't ran away, but... He's grabbed my arm, you know, and left a bruise. And yeah, I mean, he's very verbal. And so, you know,
you understand that if there is a physical assault, you can call the police and there is a possibility of domestic charges.
Yeah. Well, we're currently looking at like Boys Town or something like that because, you know, we've just said that if you can't follow our rules and be respectful, you're not going to live in this house. So
I'm confused. You know, I don't want to drag this out too long. I'm confused because you say that he's completely out of control, but he's not running away. He's not leaving the house in the middle of the night. He's not busting up anything. He doesn't have a computer or a smartphone or a license. So apparently he's just incredibly obnoxious.
Pretty much, yes. You know, and unfortunately, that's my confession every week is I can't stand my son, you know. But, yeah, I mean, the only time, you know, I mean, if you just see him, you'd think, oh, this is the nicest kid ever. But the problem is when a conflict arises, it's his way or no way. And so, for instance, last night I went to pick him up from the field. And he's like, no, I'm going to finish this field before I leave. Okay, here's your choices.
Wait, what field? What field?
Like working in the field, like farming.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And so
what kept you from turning around and saying, well, okay, find your own way home?
Well, so that's what I did. I said, okay, so here's your options. Either you come with me now or you get to walk.
Okay.
Well, so of course he stays in the tractor, and so I left.
Okay.
But again, then you have rescue from my older son that goes and picks him up.
Oh, Julie, you got... Okay, obviously we can't do therapy here. If you were in my office, I have 622,000 questions I would ask you. Two suggestions. One, I have a book that might help you. It's called Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens. There's a lot in there about how to handle teenagers. It's on my website. Okay, it gives you a lot more advice I can give you now. Secondly, I think it's best if you sit down with your husband and say, you know, we only got about another year and a half till this kid's 18. And if he's uncooperative here, what are we going to do? Maybe your husband will realize, even at this very, very late date in your child rearing, that he must make some changes. He's already frustrated with the way your son is, but at least according to what you're saying, he hasn't done much about it. So something's gone on. He's either thinks you're too strict, he thinks you're too nagging, he thinks you're too argumentative with this boy, or he is just afraid the boy won't like him. I don't know. That's one of the 622,000 questions I would ask you if you were in my office. So given that, I can't give you a quick answer here, Julie. It's a bad situation. There's things you can do. It sounds like you're doing them. But I will tell you this. Quit arguing with him. You have no leverage, Julie. You don't have any leverage. Whatever you try to do, all that happens is he argues with you, and according to what you say, your husband jumps in and mollifies the situation. So therefore, don't argue with him. You go to pick him up. He says, I'm not coming. Okay, see you later. Don't argue, because you get into arguments, that's when it gets ugly.
I don't believe that people realize that situations like Julie's, and they're all over the place, by the way. I don't want to say that they are the norm, but they are common. Out of control teens. I believe throughout all of human history, this wasn't the way it was. It was not the way it was. For a whole bunch of reasons, I think parents, for better or for worse, had much stronger authority. I think the community was of much more one mind. I think the influences of the culture around the child, and even though he doesn't have a phone or computer, he's got his friends, and I'm sure they tell him, your mother's a total, complete psycho witch. So this is something that I am befuddled about. I suspect when a parent tells me, no, I don't do any of that. Nope. 90% of the time, that's not true. It's not that they're lying. It's just that they think they're doing this. And then when you start to probe and explore, you find out, wait a minute. All right? Now, some might say, this is a marital problem. If you have a husband who just essentially lets mom take the heat, which, again, I want to comment on this. She says she's the mean mom. Now, is she mean because she has rules that she tries to enforce, or is she mean because her style's bad? If her style is bad, the kid is just going to come at her, and the husband's going to just stand back and go, oh, my gosh, what is with her? Back off, woman. That's a very common dynamic, by the way. So, what is exactly going on? Now, I didn't ask this question, and Julie didn't bring it up. I suspect what the answer would be. Julie, what's he like at school? Oh, he's fine. They love him. Because did you hear what she said? She said if you met him, you'd think he's the greatest kid. Okay. And he's probably taking that to school. So the dynamic is between the boy and his mother. She says anything and he immediately gets ticked, depending upon his mood. And for 10 years, that's been the dynamic. Dad has stood back and let mom do this. And you want to know the irony to this? This is the big irony. I've had a lot of dads do this. I don't know what's happened to dads. Dads have just become wusses. These dads who back away, let mom try to establish some limits, and when you got a teenage boy, he looks at his mother and says, who are you to tell me? Twice as strong as you are, and I'm 6 inches taller. That's just biology, okay? That is the way it is. That is reality. That's how the boys think. So unless that dad backs her up, my guess is it's going to happen. It's going to get worse. He's going to turn 18. And then Julie's going to say, I want him out of here. And dad will say, no, we can't do that. But the difference will be, his attitude is, I'm 18 now, you cannot tell me what to do. You cannot tell me I can't have a car. You cannot tell me I can't have a smartphone. You cannot do that. I am 18. I am an adult. That's going to be his attitude. Typically, and I don't know if this will happen with Julie, these situations blow up. They get really ugly at some point. Somebody gets punched. Some chair gets thrown through a wall. They just get ugly. Situation once happened where a mom just basically called the police. Now, typically the police come and they give a little lecture to the kid, try to scare him a little bit. And that's about it. That's all that happens. Now, keep in mind, she said, he grabbed my wrist and he squeezed it. Enough to leave a bruise. All right? So he didn't hit her, but that's a physical assault. My son was 17 years old. I was away. The particular speaking jaunt took me away for about 8 days. Long about the third day, normally I was never away that long, but this was a long one. Long about the third day, my son comes downstairs at about 11:30 at night, and my wife says, John, what are you doing still up? Go to bed, please. He didn't move. He just looked at her with that look in his eye. You gonna make me? He's 17 years old, much bigger than her, much stronger. His attitude was, hey! What? I don't think so. And my wife said, you know, Ray, you were not here. And typically, when you're gone for a day or two, the kids, John, know that you're going to come home. And then you will enforce this. But she said, with 8 days, you were out of sight, out of mind. She said, I saw it flicker across his eyes. You can't tell me. Now, John never, ever stood up to Randy. He didn't do that. He knew. And she went, John, go to bed, please. And he backed up really slow. And she said to me later, Ray, I think I'm a pretty good disciplinarian. But I realize how important it is to have you there, a father, especially with these teenage boys who look at their mom and say, yeah, right. I think that could be going on with Julie. At the airport the other day, And they had a sign out, don't take the escalator. And they had a sign that said, out of order. Escalators don't get out of order. They become stairs. That's all. If they stop and they're not working, they're stairs. So I don't know if an escalator can get out of order. All right, we got... Let's go to Rose from M.O. is Missouri. She has a relative who's had a brain injury and wondering how that would involve in faith.
I have someone very close to me in my life who had brain injury when he was a child, and when my mom was died, I took him in. He's functional, very functional. He writes absolutely beautiful poetry, but I don't know if he really understands what he's writing, and he just doesn't seem to have insight into his own behaviors, and he doesn't seem to understand how to grow spiritually. Is there any way that I can help him to grow in spirituality or inside or anything?
Is he interested? Like, is he interested?
I'm not sure. I don't think he really understands what it is. And, you know, I try to get him to read different articles, but I'm not sure, because he did have a stroke last summer, and that has kind of decreased his interest.
Ask him.
I don't know.
Ask him. You got to get a sense of what he knows, what he thinks about this. If he has any questions, got to get a sense of that. You might say something like, John, you believe in God? Well, I don't know. Well, how is it you don't know? What do you think?
Maybe.
You can explore it a little bit with him, Rose. Here's the, I think,
well,
the bigger... Go ahead. Go ahead.
His poetry is just beautiful. I mean, it's all prayers, you know, and it just sounds wonderful, but he'll ask me, does this sound right? You know, it's like he doesn't even understand necessarily what meaning it, the words, he knows they rhyme, but he doesn't necessarily understand what he's saying.
This is related a little bit to our previous call, Rose, because what is it about somebody like him who is overall developmentally delayed, but has a skill, a verbal skill, far beyond most people? What is it? How's that happening? Okay. A couple of things. You can use that as a springboard. You can say, John, you write this stuff. Do you know what it means? Does it mean you're thinking about God? What's it mean here, John? Use the poems to do a little bit of probing around in what he thinks. But Rose, I think here's the bigger question. What does God do with someone like John? Not his name, I know, I'm just using it. Does he hold him as accountable as you and me? I don't personally think so. Probably not. I think that John is going to be judged completely differently. Maybe John's lucky. Maybe John doesn't have much of a capability to willfully sin. So therefore, in so many ways, he's just gone straight to heaven. That could be, certainly. Can he grow spiritually? Well, probably within the bounds of his intellectual limits. He may not be able to at all understand the stuff you give him to read. It's just beyond him. He can't concentrate on it, or he can't digest it. So in that sense, if he's going to grow, it's going to be probably through you just kind of focusing on what he thinks, what he knows, what he's capable of understanding. You'll get a good read on that. Catholic Church has an absolutely beautiful, merciful teaching. It says we're really going to be judged by what we know, by our experiences, by all of these things that only God can sort out. You know, I'm going to be judged a lot more harsh. I don't want to say harsh, that's a bad word. I'm going to be judged a lot more detailed than some 14-year-old kid who grows up with no parents, or one parent who's a drug addict, never was taken to church, and then died when he was 14. You can't look at that and go, oh, that kid committed all kinds of wrong things. Yeah, he did. But the question is, how culpable was he? Only God knows that. And I think only God knows your friend on how responsible he is for what he knows. But it would be interesting for you to go on a journey into his head to figure it out. You willing to do it? I think you can do it. He probably would be most open to you because maybe you're the closest person in his life. You got to explore. When you say, I don't know what this person understands, I don't even know if he wants to understand. All right? The fact that you say, I don't know, means try to know. You got to ask. Now, sometimes it's a dead end. Sometimes you're going to get any answer to your question. Sometimes you're going to get resistance. Sometimes you're going to get answers that make no sense. But you got to check it out. I think what confuses Susan, there's a word called a savant. The old term used to be idiot savant. They got rid of that. That was kind of ugly. That's pejorative. A savant is someone who has developmental delays or brain damage, but has an exceptional skill. Some of these skills are freaky. For example, I forget the name of that movie that was Rain Man. Rain Man. And he could do calculations that were incomprehensible. Do calculations that you need a major computer to do. He did them in his head. He could tell you what day of the week a certain date would fall on in the year 2081. But at the same time, he was extremely autistic. What is that about the human brain? I think that may be a little bit of what's confusing Rose. Because she's saying, he can do this. He can do this. Why can't he do this? Well, what you do is you look at what he can do in his skill peak, like writing poetry. But you also look at where he's limited outside of that skill. I think that's what confused her. Okay. Still got 20 seconds left. I can talk a little more about that. A brain injury confuses people. Not so much the person having it as the people around and saying, what does he know? What can he understand? What can he do? What kind of control does he have? Sometimes you have to act as though the person can, and you do everything you can to guide them, to hold them accountable if necessary, knowing that, they may not be able to. Nice to be with you. I went to one of those weekends, you know, where you get to know your spouse, and I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed, and I think I kind of showed off. You know what I mean? People were looking at me like, wow. I mean, he's taking it to a new level. I remember this one question the lady asked. She said, "It's essential, husbands, that you know the little things that are important, the little observations you make." So she said to us guys, can you describe your wife's favorite flower? Do you know your wife's favorite flower? I thought to myself, this is a piece of cake. Piece of cake. I just held her hand. I said, it's Pillsbury, isn't it? the weekend kind of went a little bit downhill after that. It took me a while to recover. Dr. Ray Grandy here. The variant of The Doctor Is In is this Look Back Friday. We have, this is one of my favorite things. I love studying this and all the misperceptions surrounding it. Judy from New York has a daughter-in-law who is seriously caught up. Now, I use that word to substitute for obsessed. I didn't want to use obsessed. With the meaning of dreams, and I'm going to assume these are her dreams.
I have a daughter-in-law who is in her 30s, came into our family, and not under any pressure of any of us, decided she wanted to convert to Catholicism. She didn't follow any faith. And she had a very slipshod catechesis at the time, very quickly became a Catholic and doesn't have a real wide background in the Catholic faith. The most immediate thing which has occurred, she had a dear friend who she was friends with since her childhood, who has started to follow satanic ways. And she very wisely decided to devoid herself of her. She unfriended her. She doesn't see her, text with her, or anything anymore. However, since that time, my daughter-in-law has been getting what she calls our messages, like she might get a flash of a word. She doesn't know what it means. She might have dreams that she doesn't know why she's getting these dreams. And she, or phrases come up in her head all of a sudden. She doesn't know what they mean. Well, I advised her maybe to start writing those things down. You know, just put them like a starter journal thing. And then, you know, I could maybe discuss it with her, or she could discuss it with, you know, maybe a priest or whatever. But she has thought to go to the internet and, like, go, you know, and you know how wide space everything is out there, and look for meaning in whatever those words mean and try to construe things, put them together to say it's a message. Now, she currently thinks the Lord is telling her that she's going to have a lot to overcome and that she is going to have to establish some kind of special program, nonprofit program. That's what these messages are telling her to do. I have advised her in the past to speak to the parish priest, but he's kind of elderly and not on kind of contemporary wavelength. And I don't know what else to say to her to do. And I'm wondering if you could suggest what I could say to her with all these, about these messages that she is getting.
The first thing I would ask her, Judy, is why are you convinced that those messages mean anything at all?
Okay.
In other words, all kinds of stuff pops into our head. And dreams are crazy. By their very nature, they're erratic, illogical, and flit. So much of the time, they don't mean anything. The worst place to go, of course, is the internet to find out, oh, okay, I got the translation here. Yes, if she, tell her to call Catholic Answers and ask for Jimmy Akin.
Okay.
And Jimmy is, he'll give her a very, very informed response and tell them when you call Catholic Answers that Dr. A referred her to Jimmy, and to tell Jimmy what's going on, and he'll have a very, very good answer that will reassure her. I suspect it'll parallel a lot of what I'm saying, which is these things don't mean anything. What she's doing is stuff is popping into her head, a phrase or bits of a phrase that she figures needs interpretation.
That's what she seeks to do all the time.
Right. No, that may not need any interpretation at all. It's just bits and phrases popping into her head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until she comes to that conclusion. If she's
right,
going to go... Go ahead.
Yeah. It's getting a little embarrassing the way she's a very verbal person, and she will now corner someone and start telling them all these things. And it gets like a little embarrassing after a while that she comes up with these, you know.
Is she getting obsessed?
On the verge, I think.
Something might be going on. Something might be going on.
But it consumes a lot of her life now. She was very busy this past year with school-related things. She was in college, and that kind of like subsided. But now that that's behind her, it seems like these things are now coming into the forefront again, you know. And she comes to me. She tells me her words. What do you think they mean? I mean, I almost thought maybe I should kind of have her read the Catholic Catechism.
You might say to her, honey, I don't think they mean anything.
Mm-hmm. But then she'll probably get mad at me that I'm dismissing what she's experiencing, you know, like...
Dismissing it, Judy. She asked your opinion and you gave it.
Okay.
What do you think they mean? I don't think they mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to likely be misled if you put meaning to them. Judy's description makes me nervous. Why? As she started talking in the beginning of the call, it was, oh yeah, a word pops into her head, or she has a dream and she's trying to figure out what the dream means. But then, she seems to have wrapped herself around all this to the point where it's dominating her life. Now, I cannot in any way make a diagnosis from here. But one of the things I would explore is delusional thinking. Meaning, are these things that she's caught up in, that she's obsessing over, becoming so real to her that they are reality? And no matter how flaky or scattered or erratic they might be, she believes they're legit. Now, I don't know the degree that that's true. Sounds like it. If that's the case, there could be something more serious going on here. Not just a matter of, oh, I'm getting caught up in the meaning of these things. So I don't know how this is going to unfold. My guess would be Judy says, well, if I tell her they don't mean anything, she'll get upset. So I would imagine she'd get really upset if you tried to nudge her toward a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You might be able to get away with it with something like, well, why don't you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist? They know about these things. They've had quote-unquote training in understanding dreams and these kinds of signals, which isn't really true, by the way. A lot of the old theories, like Freud and some of the others, they said that certain symbols in a dream meant something, and they meant something for everybody. Well, what we realize now is that whatever you ran across in your dream is pretty much particular to you. Say, for example, I had a dream the other night, and by the way, you don't remember dreams after a while because the hypothalamus, which is responsible for taking short-term memory into long-term, which is part of a problem with dementia, is not active during dreams. So when you wake up and you can recount your dream, just, oh boy, I'll tell you where I was, you were there, blah, 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 and within an hour you go, I don't remember any of that anymore. I just vaguely remember Mom was there. Yeah, that's what happens. So, if Judy can do it, She needs to probe a little deeper into this daughter-in-law's, well, really, really getting caught up. It sounds like she's getting caught up to the degree that she's crowding out normal living. That's what it sounded like to me. Cornering people, that bad judgment, telling them what they mean. So sometimes, and I'm not saying this is it, I can't know this, speaking generally, sometimes when there is an incipient psychosis, in other words, it's just beginning a loss of contact with reality, it can be explained other ways. Say, well, yeah, she's always kind of been into that, and that means a lot to her, and she's fascinated. Yeah, she's fascinated by astrology and all that kind of stuff. But you watch how extreme it gets and how much it actually interferes with her normal day-to-day life. And it sounded like that's what Julie was saying. She's cornering people, and she's telling them, do you know what? I'm not comfortable with that description. I'm Dr. Ray.
We don't have a lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way.
The doctor is in.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This is interesting. I don't have time for another call on this Look Back Friday. Dr. A here. A guy named Robert Levinson, a psychology professor, University of California, and James Gross, professor at Stanford, set out to find the biggest sob story ever to hit the screens. After going through 250 tearjerkers in front of 500 film buffs, they discovered the biggest boo-hooer in the bunch was The Champ, 1979. I remember the title of the movie, I never saw it, in which a boxer, John Voight, dies in front of his son. According to the Smithsonian Magazine, the psychologist's findings have been cited in more than 300 scientific articles. Okay. However, this is the periodical that reported this, said, our Facebook fans recently chose their own saddest story. Bambi, 1942. The story of the motherless fawn produced more emotion for these readers than even Titanic or Schindler's List. Isn't that interesting? It's always fascinated me. I mean, people can get in major trouble for kicking a dog. They can, or if they have dog fights. Now, those are wrong. That's very wrong. But they don't get anywhere near as much trouble if they kill a baby in a womb. And even sometimes as it's being born. So I don't know exactly how it is that we've turned our hierarchy upside down, that somehow animals beget more emotion in us, especially those that are hurt or those that are loyal, like the dog that stays outside the hospital after his master died for 4 days, than the very, very serious tragedy of killing a baby in a womb. I don't know. I have to wrestle with that. Maybe you can see the dog and you can't see the baby. I don't know if it's that simple. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Thank you, Andrew Krucek, for all your editing there. And I thank all of you for keeping me company. Walk with God. If you got kids, hold on to them.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.